Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's fast, it's moving, and it's crazy hot. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are hyped up giving you some great sports talk. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Some NFL talk and insight there, some great interviews with different experts. But Ray, they can tweet at us, and the Twitter and everything is on fire with all the NFL news. Let's jump right into it, man. We got to go to the Bay Area, the home of next year's Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, the retirement of two defensive pillars, the total changing of the guard. We say goodbye to the great linebacker, Patrick Willis, and defensive lineman, Justin Smith. Ray, your favorite roster is completely broken up and gone. We'll get into who else is leaving and coming with the Niners. Just your thoughts on those two gentlemen retiring.
Well, Justin Smith, you knew was coming because it was time just over the years. But Patrick Willis is a little disturbing because he's only been in the league 8 years. He didn't even hit 30. So
injured.
It just tells you. These guys, that's like we were talking off air, that's like a Jack Lambert injury, your toe. I mean, that cost him most of the season. I think he missed 10 games this season because of a toe. But that toe must be pretty bad because he's a 7-time Pro Bowler in 8 seasons, and he's retiring at age 29?
Yep, not something, even 30. Oof,
not
wow.
Even 30, something fishy. I mean, I hope there's nothing fishy going on. Sad to see two guys – anchors of that defense and retiring early. That's why those pro football players get your money.
That's
get
right.
It while the getting is good, because a toe injury, I mean, we're not even talking about multiple concussions. We're not talking about a broken leg, ACL, separated shoulders. I mean, these are serious injuries. Every injury is a serious injury, but a toe injury, if you read what's on the page and you don't dig beneath the surface, a toe injury is costing Patrick Willis his career at 29 years old.
And, yeah, and we also see that in the NBA with the toe and the feet. So just looking at the Niners, right, I mean, we kind of joke, right, Super Bowl 50 is going to be out there in their stadium, the new Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. They've had a 4-year run where they got to the Super Bowl once, a couple of NFC title games. Frank Gore is signing a 3-year deal. He got 7.5 guaranteed with the Eagles. They say goodbye to him. My question about that is, I don't think Carlos Hyde, could he do what Gore did? I don't think he's that type of an aggressive runner. I think, you know, you got to give him the carries. We'll see what he does. To me, Ray, they got to try to keep you potty. I don't know if he's going to Jacksonville or the Raiders or the Bills. A lot of people want Mike Iupati, but they also bring in Torrey Smith. They say goodbye to Crabtree and Brandon Lloyd. So they're going with Bolden. I guess they got to redo Stevie Johnson, Jerome Simpson, your cousin Jerome Rome.
Rome,
who's been everywhere, and Torrey Smith. So what do you think just about what they're doing, I guess, sort of revamping the receivers? And do you trust Hyde, or do they need to sign a C.J. Spiller or somebody else to sort of help him out?
I'm telling you, man, I continue with the theme that it sounds very fishy what's going on in San Francisco. And there may have some dissension in the locker room. Maybe these guys really liked Harbaugh, although Harbaugh left with everybody saying, you know, goodbye and good riddance. So I don't really – we're getting mixed signals, but
well, that
turnover
– they told him after the Seahawks game, what, week 12, week 14, that he was no longer going to return. So, you know.
Yeah, but they're turning over everybody. I mean, you know, linebackers, offense, defense, everywhere. So this is a whole new San Francisco 49er roster. And I got to tell you what, depending on who they add, I mean, they just went from, I kept saying they were the best team in the NFL in the last 3 years, went to a Super Bowl, went to an NFC Championship game. They, depending on what St. Louis does, you could make the argument they're the worst team in,
worst,
the, in
yeah.
the NFC West.
Well, yeah, and I got to be honest. I mean, you see Anquan and Torrey, you know, yo Terps for Torrey, but I got to say Torrey Smith has not lived up to his promise and his speed. And who knows if Kaepernick could get him the ball. You know, you got to fix his ego because there were rumors out there that they might trade Kaepernick, but that's sort of, they've denied that. You know, we got to send our prayers out to Chris Johnson. Thankfully, he's been released from the hospital. He got shot in a drive-by in his shoulder.
Again, I'll just make one comment, and this is my comment for all of these guys. What are you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning outside when you're a professional athlete and you have a lot more to lose than the people outside around you have?
Well,
and I'm not saying...
One of the guys died in the car.
I know, and that's terrible, and I shouldn't joke about that because that is very much terrible. But it leads to this bigger issue of you have about – and look at Patrick Willis, right? You have 8 years – he had 8 years to make his money. Maybe if you're lucky, you have 15. And if you're extremely lucky, you have 18 years, a la, you know, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, that kind of thing. For 18 years, and I'm not saying be a hermit and stay at home, but I am saying that really – only bad things happen at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're out in public.
But it's really, let's be honest, it's more about who are you with, right? If you're just hanging out with a young lady, having a late dinner.
But then
you know,
but you're not out at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're inside.
Right. I'm just
club.
Saying, no. Usually, he's a free agent too. He's got to get a contract. So let's keep it moving. I, you know, wish him well. Hopefully he's okay with the shoulder and gets to play. Let's bounce from 49ers. And one of the next most active teams is the Eagles. So they keep their linebacker, Graham. They sign this guy, Jones, from the Packers. But they say goodbye not only to Shady, which we spoke about last week, but Jeremy Maclin, who signs with the Kansas City Chiefs, $11 million a year. Wow. That'll be interesting to see if they keep Dwayne Bowe. But what did you think about the Eagles bringing in Frank Gore and Byron Maxwell, the top corner on the market?
I like Maxwell. And you know what? Gore is a solid back who, when teamed with Darren Sproles, provides you a totally different look. So I get it. You know, we'll talk about Ndamukong Suh in a minute. But
oh, yeah.
We talked about this last week, is do you want to sink all that money into running back, especially in this day and age when you need multiple running backs anyway? So, you know what?
They Chip saved Kelly, a lot of money. Definitely did.
They
save.
Did save a lot of money, and Chip Kelly decided to put that money elsewhere, not into Maclin and not into Shady McCoy. So we'll see. They're giving him a lot of rope. So you know what they say, you could go far with that rope or you can hang yourself. But we'll see what happens in Philly because it's all, you know, it's the Chip Kelly show right now. And all the success and all the failure will be on him.
Definitely. Let's do that AFC East jump between Miami and Buffalo. The Dolphins get Sue, ridiculous money, $114 million, $60 million bonus, 6 years. But I'll tell you this. The thing about Sue, and they were showing the highlights on ESPN, and the one thing that you cannot measure, he frees up the linebackers. He's going to free up Olivier and Cameron Wake. You have to double-team this guy every single play. And he is still a machine, gets tackles, stuffs the run, sometimes gets sacks. People say he doesn't get enough sacks. Well, yeah, you're not going to get a ton of sacks at defensive tackle, and you're being double-teamed, sometimes triple-teamed. I think the Dolphins made a great move. It's going to make their secondary better. Yeah, they cut a bunch of guys, but what? They cut Wheeler, Hartline, Gibson, these guys weren't doing that much anyway, and they need to revamp their wide receivers, right? Wheeler was a big free agent signing a couple years ago. They might get rid of Ellerbeat, and these linebackers haven't done much for him. I think the Dolphins made the correct splash. I love it.
To me, it all comes down to money, right? It's a shitty McCoy issue. Do I want Ndamukong Suh on my team? Yeah, absolutely. But at what cost? So I don't know about putting all that money into him. And I hope that he proves to be worthy of that. And this is as a Jet fan. I'm just saying I like this kid at Nebraska. I thought he, you know, had a decent shot at winning the Heisman. He was that dominant. If you talk about an MVP, that was a very mediocre Nebraska team that he brought pretty far in college.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
To me, I hope he's not Albert Haynesworth. I don't think he is.
No,
he's also,
no.
Remember, he's one step on a quarterback's ankle away from being suspended yet again. So,
maybe nice.
No, I'm just saying, between the lines, off the field, he sounds like the most nicest, charming guy. But on the field, maybe that's that switch that you want as a football coach, you know? But I don't know. It's a little rich. And I think from his perspective, he did the right thing, right? If it's true that he was debating between Oakland and Jacksonville and a few other teams, Miami's the place, you know, Miami's the place to be. But we'll see. We'll see. Again, just don't be Albert Haynesworth. Be Ndamukong Suh. Go have yourself, even if you don't fill out fulfill the 6-year contract, even if you give them 4 good years and you get your $60 million guaranteed and you walk away from there with whatever that would be, $80, $90 million, good for you. And hopefully the Dolphins.
He's young, Ray. He's young. He's in great shape. I mean, I think this guy, I don't see why he couldn't play 6 more years, barring any injury. He hasn't had a long career.
But that's what I'm saying. We just talked about Patrick Willis at 8. Who would have thought that this guy, who was, you know, an MVP candidate not a season ago, couldn't even make it through 8 seasons. He went down halfway through his seventh season.
And remember, we all said after Ray Lewis retired that probably he passed the torch, and even he said it, to Patrick Willis being the best linebacker. Right there with Bowman. I'll say this, though, real quick. When we're finishing up the Niners, you know, 2 of your best guys retire. You better hope that Alden Smith and Navarro Bowman go back to playing like they used to, and they still got to re-sign Culliver. So with the Dolphins doing that, that's sort of, you know, it is what it is. But the Bills, Ray, the hugest re-sign was Justin Hughes, Justin Hughes, their defensive lineman. They re-kept him and brought him back. That I love, because Jerry Hughes was their best defensive lineman, most underrated, I think, led the team in sacks. So they keep that great defensive line. They have young linebackers that are, you know, stepped in for Alonzo when he went out. They re-signed Shady McCoy to a deal. He got some big money, which kind of set the sets the market there for DeMarco Murray. You know, and that's the thing that's going to be fascinating. Will DeMarco Murray say, you know what, I'll take $2 million a year less to stay with the Cowboys in that offensive line and win, compared to I'll go to the Colts or Jacksonville? Now, the Colts are different, right, because the Colts they could win. But, I mean, it'll just be fascinating. You know, who's willing to step up and pay that man? Because I think if I'm the Colts, I pay that money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks to me as if, you know, I always look at Peyton Manning, and not because he was a former Colt, but I always look at Peyton Manning and say, well, maybe he only won one Super Bowl, and maybe that'll be it. But this guy was in the playoffs and had a chance every year. And the reason was because Bill Polian and those guys in the Colts, and now in Denver as well, gave him the offensive tools. Now, you could argue that maybe they were missing a piece or two on defense, but if your best asset is your quarterback, then set him up for success. And what better way to do it than your offensive line first, your receiver second, and then right behind is your running back. So I don't know if you need a caliber of a DeMarcus Murray and you don't need to spend that kind of money, but upgrading your running back situation will do a lot for Peyton Manning. And God forbid if Andrew Luck, and God forbid if Andrew Luck was able to use play action, as good as he is, with his arm and with his mobility?
Well, listen, if they don't get Murray, I still would like C.J. Spiller. Listen, C.J. Spiller just needs to stay healthy. Now, you know, that might be a big
just.
That's
easier said than done, yeah.
Right, I know, but, you know, at some point, guys do. You can have injuries and then get, you know, healthy. And some of them have been flukes for Fred Jackson and for C.J. A healthy C.J. Spiller with – if Bradshaw could come back, Boom Herring – you know, that's not bad for the Colts. That would be fascinating. Because, like you said, I mean, it's just ridiculous if this guy can get a play-action pass. Because Andrew Luck is that next big guy. Let's stay on quarterbacks and stay in the AFC. Let's talk about the Texans. I mean, they officially released Andre Johnson. They signed Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer, which kind of should be depressing for Texan fans in a sense that you're saying we don't really have a number one quarterback and we got rid of our all-time greatest player, Andre Johnson. And fine, you know, maybe it was time for him to go. But I don't love DeAndre Hopkins as a one. Andre Johnson, he could go to the Colts, the Patriots, whatever. What are your thoughts about the Texans? And do they still need to make a real move for, a quarterback? Or are
they
you happy?
They do, but I don't know who's out there, right? The Jets have the same dilemma. Do the Texans, I don't know if they have this kind of money, but do the Texans sniff around and try to get a Jay Cutler? Let's stir it up a little bit. Because
I guess it's too late for that. And it looks like they haven't released Cutler yet. So I think they have to the 17th for that contract to be guaranteed for the next two seasons. So it looks like, you know, your boy in the Bears, Chicago Bears, they're going to stay with Cutler, which is maybe why they got rid of Brandon Marshall. Maybe that friendship ended a little bit there, you know, after, you know, last season. The Bears, you know, they do make some, you know, make a little bit of noise because not just who did they sign, the lineman? But the Bears did get somebody on the defensive side, which I actually like. And, you know, I think they're going to have to probably go with Cutler, which...
Yeah, I don't think you can give up on a Cutler without something in your back pocket. You know, it's easy to say Cutler's not the man, and I'm not the biggest Cutler fan. Haven't been, except for his big arm. You know, I think his quarterback intangibles for sure, and even some of the tangibles are not what an elite quarterback would be. But there are many, many worse quarterbacks than Jay Cutler. So
and the OC is good. Give Gase a chance. They signed Pernell McVee from the Ravens, who was a stud, 5 years, $40 million. So John Fox is, you know, adding something to the defense, which they need to do. So we'll see what the Bears do, you know.
Right. And back to that AFC East, we forgot to mention about Darrelle Revis.
Yes.
We all knew that Belichick was not going to pay him $20 million. That contract was pretty ridiculous. So he won his Super Bowl. He won his Super Bowl, and the question is he going to be back? He might re-sign with the Patriots. They might do another one of these, you know, okey-doke contracts that have a lot of money on paper, but the team has the option. But he might go back there. The Jets always sniff around at Darrelle Revis. So,
yeah, the owner says he wants him, so we'll see if he opens up. I got to believe, though, Revis is not going to do one of these 1 year. I think he's going to try to do a 4 to 5 year deal. And, look, give them credit. They re-signed the safety, Devin McCourty, who's a stud. And I believe, listen, they told Browner to look for teams. He's got a $2 million bonus in a couple of days. So maybe they keep Revis, let go Browner, and then, you know, have Revis and McCourty to hold down that secondary. I don't think Revis will leave the AFC East. How about that? He's either Patriots or Jets. That's my feeling.
Okay. Nice company to be in. I guess from his perspective, he'd rather stay in New England, go for another championship while they still have Tom Brady playing at the level he's playing at. I don't know if he wants to come back to New York. There was a little bad blood, but, you know, Itzik is gone. Tannenbaum is gone. All these guys are gone. So maybe he comes back to New York.
He'll get over the blood if there's some green, right? You get rid of the red for the green, I think you'll be fine.
Gangrene, literally.
Now, how about this?
Gangrene.
Manning might be a little upset today. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Julius Thomas. It seems like the Jaguars and some other teams are going after him hard. But Orlando Franklin signed with the Chargers. That's a big move, getting the offensive lineman away from their own division, a five-year deal. And they also signed Jacoby Jones, which we mentioned the other day. So the Chargers are making some moves. And it doesn't look like they're going to bring back Ryan Matthews. Nobody's talking about him as a running back on the free agent. Who do you think Ryan Matthews, do you trust him? Like, would you say, okay, I'll sign him, whether it's the Jets, the Colts, teams that need running backs?
See, this is where sometimes fantasy is fantasy, and sometimes fantasy actually makes you put your thinking cap on. So I've had Ryan Matthews on my fantasy team.
And you don't trust him.
And I can't trust him. I can't trust him. Can't trust it. So he's ultimately talented. Who San Diego State, he's never really come into his own between injuries and fumbling. You know, he's one of these guys where he's like the very poor man's Arian Foster. So he can run the ball, he can catch the ball. He's not elusive, but he runs north-south. When he's on, he's a pleasure to watch, but he's not consistent enough. So to me, I would give him a chance, but only in a scenario where it's a well-defined backup role and I have contingencies for his health, because he's another guy that can't stay healthy, a la
C.J.
Spiller.
How about the Cardinals or the Lions, who already have backs, or the Dolphins, but they could still use him and he could potentially be a number one, and you just do like a one-year deal? Because I think Ryan Matthews with Detroit or Arizona could be pretty nice. Do you know what I mean?
He could be pretty nice with any team. It's just a matter of staying healthy, and it's a matter of maybe you got to limit his carries. Maybe you got to give him 15, 18. He's not one of these backs that, you know, in the fourth quarter
he's
does
no Frank
thing.
Gore. Baby. Just say it. Go ahead. You say it. He's no Frank Gore.
He is no Frank Gore. There's nothing wrong with that. Frank Gore is a borderline Hall of Famer. You know, if he has a couple good years in Philly, he'll go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, and the Chargers did keep their cornerback that they rented for 1 year from the Chiefs, Brandon Flowers. So good for him for, you know, getting a long-term deal, four-year deal, staying in San Diego. It looks like the Chargers are realizing that they've got a talented roster and they're finally doing something this year. Now, remember, the cap goes up to 143, but that's the ceiling, but the floor increases and goes up. So there are eight or nine teams that were below the floor, so there's teams that have to spend money, Ray. So that's also going to be fascinating. I threw it out there on Twitter. Will the Raiders or Jaguars be able to sign any of these sort of big free agents or whatever? You know, it starts officially tomorrow at 4 o'clock, but so far in the unofficial signings, the Jaguars and Raiders are getting no love.
Well, let's put it this way, as politely as we can. If you want to win, you're not going to the Jaguars or the Raiders right now. I mean, maybe in 2-3 years, they'll turn it around.
Developing franchises again.
Well, maybe the Raiders are David Carr, but the Jaguars, I mean, who's their quarterback over there? They really
Blake.
You liked Blake coming out of Central Florida. I'm still not sold. I'm still not sold.
There's no offensive line. The kid played good last year. Listen, after all the rookies.
I'll give you that. Let's put it like this. All right, let's say that you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk going to Jacksonville or Oakland. You're probably not going to win anytime soon. Let's put it that way. You agree with that?
Right.
So you're really on the five-year program. Now, remember that in football, 5 years is an eternity. So you could get hurt. The team might not even honor your contract. So you're not going to win in your first 2 or 3 years at either of those franchises. So they might get somebody, but they have to overpay, and these people are going to sniff around at the 16 to 20 playoff teams first, 16 to 20 teams that are perennially in competition for the playoffs, and then go to Oakland or Jacksonville to get their money. So to answer your question, yes, it's very hard for them to get top-tier free agents.
So we got to talk about Green Bay. The Packers were able to keep their stud in the pile. Listen, that to me was their most important thing in free agency. and their backup quarterback, Scott Tolzien. Listen, that's great because Cobb and Nelson together.
Is that your dream team, Cobb and Nelson?
I got to tell you, man, people can say what they want. Right now, to me, Jordy Nelson and Antonio Brown, they put up the numbers. I don't want to hear about, you know, Demarius and Megatron. You know, listen, right now, Antonio Brown and Jordy Nelson. And by the way, the Steelers, we released Brett Kiesel. No word on Troy Polamalu yet. And the Saints released Curtis Lofton.
Can you be underrated, though, and catch 100 and how many did Antonio catch? Like 120 and still be underrated?
Yes, he is underrated.
Because it seems like that Antonio Brown and Jordy Nelson, for as good as they are, leading the league in, you know, receptions and yards for Antonio Brown, leading the league in touchdowns last year for Jordy Nelson, and yet they're still underrated. Why is that?
You know what it is? I think Big Ben is underrated. I think Bell is on the verge of not being underrated. He was this year, but that's going to change. And Brown is. Because the Steelers are perceived to be a running team with a good defense, and now that there's this passing machine. You know, Big Ben had that crazy game. And Antonio Brown was dominating. And then my boy Martavius Bryant, oh, man. And then Marcus Wheaton stepped up. We still got the veteran Heath Miller. I'd love for the Steelers to sign a tight end because Heath is on his last leg. If we could sign Julius Thomas or Jordan Cameron, I'd be happy. But, you know, my Steelers are like the Packers. We kind of re-sign our own. We let go of guys before, you know, a year too early, before a year too late on the most part. And we don't really go big in free agency. We just draft well. So I got to ask you this, though. With the veteran Andre Johnson, I think he's still got a year or two left. Where would you like to see him? With a young quarterback or with a savvy veteran? Could he help out?
He's the next Reggie Wayne. He's basically Reggie Wayne, the next, I mean, at this point in his career. I'd like to see him go play with Andrew Luck.
What about Andy Dalton and the Bengals?
Do you trust Andy Dalton? I mean, maybe you do in the regular season. But that's not the problem, their third receiver. I mean, we feel like A.J. Green and Sanu and all those guys are decent enough. But, yeah, he'd be a good addition. He'd be a good addition in over there in Cincinnati. He could go anywhere. I really think Andre Johnson, especially if you have Andre Johnson as his second or third receiver, you're upgraded everywhere. I mean, he
now,
could
are
go.
You, are you, did you hear about Reggie Wayne wanting to play? And everybody's saying he might go team up with Peyton and replace Wes Welker in the slot. That'd be kind of nice, huh?
I tell you what, it's not
the first year.
It's the second year after the ACL. Still has good hands, and he still runs good routes. Sounds to me like the perfect slot receiver. And he's already checked his ego because T.Y. Hilton became the man on that team about a year and a half ago. So that's a great move for Reggie, and it's a great move for Peyton.
Yeah, no, I can't be mad at it. Ray, before we wrap up, we gotta just, you know, say, look, we'll be back on Friday. Tomorrow, free agency begins. March Madness, the tournaments begin. Regular season, Kentucky, congrats for being 31-0. I mean, it was just dominant. You got Kentucky, Duke, Virginia, and Villanova with that, you know, the top four in the rankings, and Arizona, Wisconsin. My Terps moved up to 8, so I really believe we're going to solidify the 2-seed, big win over Nebraska. Are you, I don't know, do you feel like there's anyone at this point that can crack the number 1 seed, or do you want to keep Duke and Virginia? They've done enough, Villanova, to join Kentucky as the number 1 seeds.
I think Duke and Virginia at this point have done almost enough. If they both get, I think if they both get to the ACC semis, they're good enough. So you're really only talking about that fourth seed, and I think that ultimately Arizona and Wisconsin are better than Villanova. So it's just a matter of who wins their tournament. Now, if they both win, Arizona and Wisconsin, I think either of them should get in over Villanova. So I'm really down on Villanova as being a number 1 seed.
I got to say, they put it on St. John's, though. I watched that game. It was impressive,
right? Wow. That's St. John's, you know. We had Zendon Hamilton, so shout out to St. John's. And we're trying to get Steve Lavin on the show. But yeah, Villanova. I mean, look, I'm not saying they're not a, they're not an upper echelon team. I'm not sure they're just not sure that they're a 29-2 number one seed. So I'd like to see Arizona, Wisconsin kind of slide in. I even we talked about this last time. I even like Gonzaga a little bit better. But look, it'll be a lot of fun. We got conference tournaments, the minor ones coming up, the mid majors coming up, and then we got the majors coming up later in the week.
It starts tomorrow, yeah.
Selection Sunday. On Sunday, a lot to talk about. So we'll get into it on Friday. A lot of college basketball on Friday and some NFL
free agency. Listen, great show. Short but sweet. Great show. A lot of fun. And shout out to Russell Westbrook. 5 out of 6 games with triple doubles. He is the man, head brother in charge.
Yes, he is. And if he didn't miss those 17 games, he would be running away with the MVP. Because his team wouldn't be in eighth place, but we still don't think he could get the MVP from the eighth seed.
No, no, no. Listen, great show. We'll see everybody back on Friday. Thanks for listening. Talking Sports with Fred.
We're out.
How can we really see when our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds.